The Ritual, written by La Dissonance, read by Opalsong. Fandom, Mo Dao Zushi. Rating, explicit. Relationship, Nie Hoisong, Nie Mingtui. Also tagged for sibling incest, ghost sex, but it's a ghost so opaque, real ghost sex aficionados might be disappointed. Possessiveness, dirty talk, sex magic, edging, cockwarming, angst and fluff and smut, mostly smut, TBH. Public sex, mentioned. And plot, what plot? Porn without plot. Archive warning for major character death. However, it's a canonical major character death that happens before this fic is set. And considering that the fic is ghost fic.
We were young, we were the ones, the kings and queens. Oh yeah, we ruled the world. We smoked cigarettes, man, no regrets. Wish I could relive every single word. We've taken different paths and traveled different roads. I know we'll always end up on the same one when we're old. And when we're in the trenches and you're under fire, I will cover you. If I was dying on my knees, you would be the one to rescue me. And if you were drowned at sea, I'd give you my lungs so you could breathe. I've got you, brother. I've got you, brother.
The folded paper, thin and dry with age, falls out of a not-too-promising book in a minor sect's dusty library and drifts to rest in a golden sunbeam on the floor. Nie Hoisong picks it up and unfolds it carefully. He'd come here on the pretense of joining their annual monster trophy hunt with a few of his Qinghe Nie disciples, but had claimed second thoughts after hearing some harrowing tales of past year's close calls over breakfast. From there, it hadn't been hard to manipulate his way into a quiet day in the library, which was his goal all along. The past few years had been bleak, frustrating ones. He's researched more revenge curses than he'd ever known exist, and has learned things about demonic cultivation that would make his blood curdle. By now, he's exhausted the most obvious avenues, and is stuck with this, visiting minor sects on false pretenses in hopes that he'll stumble onto any scrap of something useful. So he unfolds the paper and skims the archaic calligraphy. It's instructions, mostly, missing most of the context, but he can piece together that it's a ritual that will summon a restless person's spirit as a ghost, provided they haven't moved on. And if there's one thing Nie Hoisong is sure of, it's that his brother is extremely unlikely to have become fulfilled and moved on. A faint ray of hope blooms in his chest. Wei Wuxian is the only person to have ever raised the dead, and Nie Hoisong has long since given up on recreating his methods. But if he could even talk to Nie Mingtui, even for a few moments, that would help. He's willing to try anything to get the information he needs to avenge Nie Mingtui after being stymied for so long. If Mingtui's ghost could even give him a single scrap of information, like how Jing Guangyao caused his qi deviation or where his body is now, it would be more progress than Nie Hoisong has made in a long time. He slips the page into his sleeve and is quietly reading a book of poetry when his hosts return. Hours later. Back at home, when he has time to examine it more closely, it quickly becomes obvious why this ritual never turned up in all his early research. It's not a typical soul-summoning ritual. It's not a cultivation ritual at all. As Nie Hoisong puzzles through it, the closest category he can put it in is folk magic. Not only that, but sex magic. The ritual is framed as one that allows lovers to exchange last words when one has died with unfinished business, and Nie Huaisang almost dismisses it out of hand. But he has no other options right now, and at its core, it does seem to cover the basics, and he's willing to try anything. With that decided, he wastes no time preparing. When the night of the ritual finally arrives, Nie Huaisang is kneeling on the floor in his bedroom, with most of the furniture pushed towards the walls, to make space for a large array in the center of the floor. Not having any way to know which parts of the instructions are simply tradition, and which are crucial parts of the magic, or if there's even a difference at all, Nie Huaisang is clad in thin robes, with his hair loose and unbound around his shoulders. The robes are so thin that an observer, not that there could be any behind these tightly barred doors, would clearly be able to see the outline of his body through them, backlit by the candles he's placed around the array he's drawing on the floor. When he turns towards the light, the robes do nothing to hide the dusky pink of his nipples and the angrier red of his hard cock. He feels tremendously exposed, and hopes that if Daga's spirit is indeed still out there somewhere, it isn't here yet. The ritual uses a combination of spiritual energy and yang energy to power itself. The yellowed instructions indicate that the ritual will bind the spirit to the energy that the person performing the ritual builds up. The wording is ambiguous enough that Huaisang can't tell how long the binding lasts. Is it until the yang energy dissipates? Until the moon is at its peak? There's no indication. In case his time with Nie Mingtui's spirit is especially short, Nie Huaisang has prepared as much as he can, paring down his thousands of questions until he can get the most information in the least time. He knows ghosts usually have a tie to their body and some memory of events after they die. Nie Mingtui should be able to help him with that much at least. As much as he just wants to talk with his brother again, giving him justice is more important, and he's not going to waste a second. He's also prepared physically. If he's reading between the lines correctly, the stronger his release of yang energy, the stronger the summoned spirit will be. Huaisang wants Nie Mingtui's spirit to be as strong as he possibly can be, so he's been edging himself for days. No effort spared. At first, he merely worked himself to the brink with his hands and eased off. But then he realized he could get a lot further with toys, build up that much further before he had to cut himself short. The next day, he tied a ribbon around the base of his cock to keep himself on that razor's edge even longer. And after he once woke up in the middle of the night, mere seconds away from spilling all over his sheets, he constructed a cage to wear to bed to prevent any similar mishaps in his sleep. It's been a bizarre experience, working himself up every night. Not to thoughts of Daga, exactly, but with Daga as the driving purpose behind it. The way he misses Mingtui is so strong it might as well be indistinguishable from passion. And the closer he got to the night of the ritual, the harder he's found it to make those distinctions. If tonight it's all mixed up entirely, the old want and need and longing tangled with his other want and need and longing, well, it can only help. Finally, Huaisang lays the last pieces of the array into place. The very last element will have to wait for later, but he's ready to begin. He moves the large phallus he brought for this purpose into the center of the design and lowers himself onto it, his slicked opening taking it easily. He kneels in the center of the array and fucks himself slow and deep, letting the pressure gradually build up. He doesn't try to stop himself from thinking about Mingtui when his thoughts wander that way. The instructions didn't say to think of the deceased person, but it seems like it can only help. He misses Daga so much it feels like a physical ache. And thinking of his muscled arms or the way firelight played across his face or the way it sounded when he said Huaisang's name, even lifting him self up and imagining it's Dugga's thick cock he's fucking himself down on. Feels like it's only right. Who is he to keep Ming Tui out of any aspect of his life, to let him be forgotten? When he's fast approaching the peak of his pleasure, Hoisung loosens the tie around his cock and, as the ritual specified, calls Ming Tui's name as he comes. It's the final piece of the array. As the white splatters between the carefully drawn lines, Hoisung feels a sense of vertigo and then realizes it's not him. The pattern on the floor is moving, lifting up like a silk sheet in the wind and circling around. The pattern wraps around Hoisong's limbs and then sinks into his skin, glowing for a moment before disappearing. When Hoisong looks down, there's no array left on the floor. When he looks up, his brother is standing before him. "Dugga!" he gasps, all the pain and longing and joy at seeing him again so raw in his voice. He's aware of the picture he paints, sweaty and crumpled on the floor, spent cock still twitching on his thigh, tear tracks down his face, the giant phallus, though Ming Tui can't see it, still impaling his ass. There's no time for propriety. Hoisong gives the barest minimum rundown of facts Ming Tui might need to orient himself. He's dead. This many years have passed. Hoisong summoned him. There's no saying how much time they have. And launches into his prepared questions. Ming Tui answers all of them with clipped military efficiency. And he remembers more than Hoisong had dared to hope for. When he gets to the end of the list, he just stares up at Ming Tui, drinking him in. He looks a bit shimmery around the edges, maybe. Like Hoisong has water in his eye. But mostly he looks here, and he looks real. Hoisong didn't think he'd get to the end of his questions, honestly. He hadn't dared planned what he'd do if Ming Tui is still here.
"Have you been well?"
Ming Tui asks, after a long silence. Hoisong feels a sob contracting in his chest, and he can't stop it. A second later, it pours out of him, and then he's weeping uncontrollably. Ming Tui kneels down, a bit stiffly, and wraps his arms around Hoisong's shaking shoulders, not heeding his nakedness or the sweat on his skin. His arms are solid and warm, just as if he were really back, as if he had never gone anywhere at all, and Hoisong can only sob harder. Then Ming Tui tries to gather Hoisong onto his lap, and Hoisong winces as the toy moves within him. And then he's laughing and crying at the same time as he reaches back and pulls it out, letting it roll away to the same unknown corner of the room he'd tossed the robe when he'd started sweating through it. He lets Ming Tui pull him into a tight embrace, and he doesn't even know how to name what emotions he's feeling. For several long moments, Ming Tui simply holds onto him tight and presses kisses into his hair. When Hoisong's breathing finally begins to calm, Ming Tui starts to reach into his lapel to give Hoisong a handkerchief, but seems to think better of it. Next, he reaches toward the crumpled gauze robe on the floor, but his fingers pass right through it when he tries to pick it up. This startles a genuine laugh out of Hoisong, because if he'd gone mad, surely he wouldn't hallucinate Ming Tui not being able to pick up a robe. He takes it himself and blows his nose and mops his face. After a moment's hesitation, he mops his crotch, too, although some of his spunk has already started to dry. He grimaces. "I'm such a mess. Sorry." Ming Tui squeezes him and kisses his head again.
"Don't be sorry. You brought me back. I never thought I'd see you again."
"I bet you didn't expect to see me like this," Hoisong says, trying to make light, but it doesn't come out quite right. It hasn't quite caught up to him yet, but he can feel the shame rolling in like a distant storm on the horizon.
"Hoisong,"
Ming Tui says, serious, cupping Hoisong's cheek so he has no choice but to look up into his brother's stern, beloved face.
"No one else could have done this. You're perfect."
He kisses Hoisong on the forehead.
This is the most Ming Tuệ has ever kissed him in his adult life. He's sure. And then he tips his face up and kisses him on the lips. In another life, Hoi Sung would have protested. He would have asked if Dago was sure. He would have insisted that they stop. Maybe even Hoi Sung himself would have been unsure back then. But he gives himself over to the kiss without hesitation now. Who can say how much time they have left? If Ming Tuệ wants to spend that time kissing him, then Hoi Sung will be kissed. When Ming Tuệ doesn't dissolve into thin air in the next few minutes, Hoi Sung lets himself be talked into snuffing out the candles and staggering over to the bed. Ming Tuệ's hands stay on him the whole time, assuring him of his presence. When they fall into the bed, Ming Tuệ kisses him again. His mouth, his throat, the center of his chest, the dip of his abdomen below his ribs when he sucks in a surprised breath. "Why can I feel you?" Hoi Sung marvels, almost to himself. But Ming Tuệ hears and rubs a raspy cheek against the soft skin of his stomach. Hoi Sung digs his hands into Ming Tuệ's hair and holds him close. He should be insubstantial. The instructions were to summon a spirit for last words, which doesn't require the spirit to be tangible. And more importantly, Ming Tuệ can't seem to interact with any of the objects in the room. He doesn't even seem to touch the floor or the bed, simply existing close enough to them to trick the eye.
"Can't you feel it?"
Ming Tuệ asks, frowning.
"Feel what?"
"The way we're linked. I can feel your spiritual energy like it's a part of me."
Ming Tuệ's thumbs trace up the insides of Hoi Sung's arms, as if to illustrate the current of energy. But all Hoi Sung can feel is the rough drag of skin on skin that leaves sparks in its wake. He shakes his head numbly, and Ming Tuệ looks determined. He kisses Hoi Sung's navel, then noses at the faint trail of hair below it. And he should be shocked or appalled, but all Hoi Sung can think is, "Yes, please let him stay long enough to do it." Hoi Sung's cock is already starting to chub up again when Ming Tuệ sucks the sensitive head into his mouth and tongues at the underside. Honestly, with how long he'd gone without release before the ritual, it's a miracle he got soft at all. Ming Tuệ has barely started working at him before Hoi Sung is hard and straining again. Just a few moments of gentle mouthing and the barest hint of suction, and all of Hoi Sung's nerves are lit up.
"Slower, make it last,"
he begs, and he doesn't want to know how, but Ming Tuệ slows down even more, spacing out his actions until Hoi Sung can focus on each lick, each stroke. Ming Tuệ's hand wanders lower between Hoi Sung's legs until his cool fingers brush against his hot, puffy entrance. Ming Tuệ just lets his knuckles stroke against the pucker at first, taking his mouth away from Hoi Sung's dick while he does, so Hoi Sung has to pay full attention to each one. But Hoi Sung can feel how open he still is, and he wants more. He pushes onto Ming Tuệ's fingers when they return, and Ming Tuệ allows him to take two fingertips inside, stroking almost reverently around his rim.
"Want to fuck you,"
Ming Tuệ says, echoing his words with the way his two fingers push inside more decisively, rubbing all along Hoi Sung's sensitive walls on their way out.
"Want to see Didi come on my cock."
That sounds perfect, actually. It sounds like exactly what Hoi Sung needs right now. He nods, and Ming Tuệ rewards him by going down on his cock again, all perfect wet heat and intense eye contact.
"Get your oil,"
Ming Tuệ says, voice a bit hoarse when he comes back up. It's under his pillow, in easy reach after the past week, and he grabs the file and thoughtlessly hands it to Ming Tuệ. He remembers himself just in time to save it from slipping through Ming Tuệ's insubstantial fingers, stammering out an apology, and slicks himself up again, the motions familiar and newly fraught with anticipation.
"So good,"
Ming Tuệ says, watching him with naked hunger in his eyes. It's intense, hearing Daga praise him like that, and Hoi Sung craves more of it instantly.
"The first thing I saw when I got back was your hand on your cock," Ming Tuei says, adding one of his fingers to the two Hoysong has inside himself. He might not be able to help spread the oil, but he feels substantial enough as far as Hoysong is concerned. Rough and blunt and the perfect stretch. Hoysong whines. After only a few more moments, Ming Tuei moves between Hoysong's spread legs. He'd been wearing clothes when he got here, but at some point, when Hoysong wasn't looking, he'd become naked. His cock is half hidden in his hand, but it looks much bigger than the toy Hoysong had been using. Fucking like this would be good, but Hoysong needs more contact. He needs their entire bodies to be touching. He rolls onto his side and tugs Ming Tuei with him, slotting himself against his front, arching his back and lifting a leg to give him access, pulling Ming Tuei's arms around him so he could hold on tight.
"It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen,"
Ming Tuei says, and it takes Hoysong's hazy mind a minute to pick up the thread of what he'd been saying before. Ming Tuei lines up and pushes the fat head of his cock against Hoysong's entrance, barely breaching him. He would hardly have to push at all to sheathe himself inside. Hoysong is so wet and open. But he goes achingly slow, letting Hoysong commit every centimeter of his cock to memory.
"Then I saw you fucking that porcelain cock,"
he says, breath just a tiny bit ragged with the effort of holding back.
"And I wished it was me."
Having Daga's cock just barely inside him like this is going to drive Hoysong mad. He can't help but squirm around slightly, not trying to fuck himself, but just feeling how Ming Tuei is holding him open. The anticipation is killing him, but he welcomes it. Because he feels like if Ming Tuei started fucking him in earnest, he might come right away.
"I'm going to fuck you until you'll never think of anyone else's cock but mine,"
Ming Tuei says in Hoysong's ear. He rolls his hips and his cock slides in another couple of centimeters. Easy as anything. Like Hoysong's ass were made for this.
"Please."
Hoysong sobs and the thick arm across his chest clutches him possessively. Ming Tuei's other hand trails down to rub at his aching dick, and Hoysong keens. He can't take it from both sides like this. It will be over far too soon. Ming Tuei rolls his hips again, sliding further inside Hoysong's body. And if he can't hold on, it's not an option. Ming Tuei's questing fingers travel lower, cupping Hoysong's balls. Hoysong makes another desperate noise and claws at his control, and then lower still to rub at the place Ming Tuei's cock is seated now, and Hoysong can feel the low, satisfied hum he makes as he pushes against Hoysong's entrance as he moves, as if proving to himself that Hoysong really is taking him. Ming Tuei's hand moves back up to cup Hoysong's dick, holding the hard length tight against his stomach. With his fingers out of the way, Ming Tuei finally gives one last thrust and completes his inexorable progress into Hoysong's body. Hoysong's dick twitches against Ming Tuei's hand at that, and Ming Tuei makes a deep grunt of satisfaction. Hoysong isn't sure whether it's from feeling the effect he has on him or from the sensation of being buried so deep.
"Going to fuck you now,"
Ming Tuei says, his arms across Hoysong's chest and low on his belly holding him tight, ready to be taken. Hoysong can barely breathe with the anticipation. But if Ming Tuei starts to move with his hand over Hoysong's cock like this, it will be too much. Too much friction, too much everything. It will be over far too soon. If he could stretch this out forever, he would. He doesn't want to have to say goodbye. He scrabbles at Ming Tuei's lower hand, trying to pry it away and put it somewhere safer. But Ming Tuei doesn't let himself be pried away. He bats Hoysong's hands away as if they were pesky birds and nestles his hand back in, palms snug against the base of his dick and fingers curling around the shaft, giving a little squeeze as if Hoysong's dick is the best thing he's ever held onto. It sends a friction of pleasure through Hoysong's nerves. And he knows what it feels like when he's close, knows exactly how much more he can take and still back off from the edge. And it's not much.
"Don't," he gasps. "Please, I can't. I'm going to come if you..."
"So come,"
Ming Tuei says and squeezes again.
His hands are so big and blocky, it's nothing like when Hoisang touches himself. He whines.
Daga, I don't want to come until you, please.
His breath is coming short, and he feels like he might cry again. He doesn't want Daga's hand off him at all, but he has to. Ming Tui kisses Hoisang's neck.
Shh, he says. I'm not going anywhere.
He punctuates the statement with a slow roll of his hips. Hoisang feels so full.
But if I come, you'll...
Hoisang can't get the full statement past his lips. If I come, you'll disappear. Because wasn't that how this all started? Ming Tui has already been here longer than Hoisang thought he might be. But if anything can dispel him, surely it's that. It's as if Ming Tui can hear Hoisang's thoughts.
I'm not going anywhere.
He fucks into Hoisang again, a bit harder, and Hoisang feels like a wire stretched so tight he's razor sharp. Ming Tui pets his hip, one more irresistible note in the onslaught Hoisang has to hold his control taut against.
You can come, Dee Dee. It's okay. I'm not going anywhere.
He pets Hoisang again. Hoisang is trembling with the effort of not giving in to how good it feels.
I want to feel you come for me,
he says into Hoisang's ear.
I want you to come on my cock, and I want to keep fucking you right through it. Will you give me that, Dee Dee?
To give Ming Tui something he so dearly wants. To be something Ming Tui so dearly wants. The frayed wire of Hoisang's restraint snaps. He goes boneless in Ming Tui's arms, breathing hard. And without missing a beat, Ming Tui gathers him close and fucks into him, strong and purposeful. His hand is back on Hoisang's dick, and just the friction of being held like that, rubbing against Ming Tui's palm with every thrust, is maddening. He's at Ming Tui's mercy in this position, no leverage to push back or forward. He can only be pliant and open and take whatever Daga gives him. Now that he's received tacit permission, Ming Tui doesn't let up. He fucks Hoisang like he means to commit him to memory, starting slow and gradually, inexorably ramping up the pace. Hoisang feels like he's slowly being lit on fire. When Ming Tui thoughtlessly shifts Hoisang to get a better angle, moving him around like a doll before snapping his hips up, Hoisang feels something inside him melt. He might cry out, but that's secondary to the rush of relief he feels that, even if this is going to be over in a few moments, for right now, for a little while, he doesn't have to carry it all on his own.
Hoisang, fuck,
Ming Tui growls and bites at Hoisang's shoulder, and he comes crashing back into his body. The fire that was kindling before is an inferno now. Ming Tui's hot mouth and sharp teeth on his shoulder, the slide of sweat on Hoisang's back and thighs everywhere they're pressed together, Ming Tui's thick cock pounding into him, Ming Tui's proprietary hand rubbing his cock, everything is good and everything is unbearable, overloading Hoisang's nerves until he could explode in a shower of sparks. Hoisang comes with a high wail, curling in on himself as his senses white out. Ming Tui curls right along with him, molding himself to Hoisang's back and drawing his knees up to cage him in, fucking him in a short, fast burst as he strips his cock. Hoisang can only shudder and gasp as pleasure courses through him.
Fuck, Dee Dee, you're so good. Look how good you take my cock,
Ming Tui is saying. It occurs to Hoisang that he might have been speaking for longer, but his ears just weren't hearing.
So good for me. So pretty.
Ming Tui growls. He rolls Hoisang onto his back, withdrawing long enough to rearrange their limbs, and then hitching Hoisang's hips up and pushing right back in. Hoisang's cock gives a helpless twitch as one last drop of cum spurts out. The noise that Ming Tui makes when he sees it is filthy. If Hoisang was boneless before, he's completely fucked out now. Every muscle lax with a soul-deep satisfaction.
You're still here, he says wonderingly.
He would reach up and stroke Ming Tuei's face if he had any strength in his arms. Instead, he just sighs and tips his head back and offers himself up to Ming Tuei, who's still fucking him. Slower now, as the last aftershocks of his orgasm shake through him.
"Not going anywhere, Ah Song,"
Ming Tuei says.
"You did so well bringing me here. I'm all yours."
He brushes a sweaty lock of hair out of Hoisong's eyes, and Hoisong catches the side of his hand in a clumsy kiss. Ming Tuei returns it by dipping down and capturing Hoisong's lips in a searing kiss, whispering gruff, sweet nothings into Hoisong's mouth as he kisses him again and again. The whole time, he keeps moving in Hoisong, his strokes slowing with Hoisong's breathing until he's just barely rocking in him. It's on the edge of too much. His cock feels enormous in Hoisong, his every motion rolling through Hoisong like an earthquake, no matter how subtle. Hoisong's legs are where Ming Tuei put them when he rearranged him like a rag doll, one wrapped around his hip and the other sprawled out to the side. He tightens his leg around Ming Tuei with what strength he has left, holding him close before he even thinks of ending this perfect onslaught.
"Stay," he pleads.
Ming Tuei kisses him again, softer than Hoisong thought he knew how, and settles himself around and over Hoisong, a comforting weight that Hoisong wants to wrap himself in forever.
"Yes,"
he says, and kisses Hoisong again. His hips still at last, cock buried deep, and Hoisong can feel himself fluttering around the intrusion, unable to fully acclimate. He's viciously glad. As long as Daga is in him, he never wants the feeling to dull. Ming Tuei holds him and peppers his face with kisses, stroking his hair, nuzzles into his neck, and sucks a mark there. Hoisong isn't aware of the passage of time. He lets himself drift in a cloud of contentment and affection, feeling like he's an ocean that could never be filled, no matter how much Daga gave him.
"Look at you, holding my cock like this. So debauched."
Ming Tuei strokes Hoisong's cheek, following the path of a dry tear track. Hoisong's mouth drops open, and Ming Tuei rubs his bottom lip, slipping his tongue into Hoisong's mouth when his tongue comes out to meet it. Hoisong sucks it greedily, letting his teeth scrape over the pad of Ming Tuei's thumb. He feels debauched, used and wrecked, and still wanting more.
"If I could, I'd keep you stuffed full of my cock every moment of every day,"
Ming Tuei murmurs. Hoisong whines around his mouthful and his dick gives a helpless twitch.
"All the time, Didi. While you're answering letters, when you're drilling the disciples, while you're meeting with sect leaders, you feel so good on me. The perfect fit."
He mouths at the hinge of his jaw, which has the predictable effect of making Hoisong's jaw drop open further. Ming Tuei kisses him, deep and filthy, and Hoisong is so wrung out that he can do little more than let Ming Tuei have his way.
"I'd fuck you in the morning, fill your tight little ass up with my cum, and then let you keep my dick warm as you go about your day. I'd get hard again so fast just from being so close to you. And as soon as I was ready again, I could fuck you. Whenever I want. Spread you out on my lap on the throne and take you right there. I wouldn't even wait."
"Oh, fuck yes," Hoisong says, feeling fire flood his meridians. A part of his mind tries to point out that the scenario Ming Tuei painted makes no logistical sense, but he stifles it in favor of letting the words wash over him. To be claimed so thoroughly and so publicly by Nie Ming Tuei after so many years of self-enforced isolation? Hoisong's mind goes all hazy with satisfaction at the fantasy. If he gets to keep Daga, really keep him, longer than just one night, then there's not a single secret he has to carry on his own. Who better to confess his plans to than the very one he's avenging? Never being alone again is such a breathtaking thought that Hoisong's mind skitters off it, reluctant to focus too hard lest it be snatched away. Ming Tuei isn't done with him yet anyway. Hoisong's scattered thoughts are driven out of his head entirely when Ming Tuei sits back on his heels, not once separating where they're connected. He moves carefully, but the motion still jostles his cock deep in Hoisong's ass, sending oversensitive pangs through his lower body. He squirms, trying to get more comfortable, but of course there's nowhere to go, especially not when Ming Tuei hauls him up by the hips and gets his legs under him so Hoisong's ass is in his lap, canted up in an obscene angle that puts him on display like he's goods at the market. Ming Tuei hums appreciatively at the view and circles the head of Hoisong's mostly soft cock with one fingertip, the gentlest touch. At Ming Tuei's touch, Hoisong's cock obediently twitches, powerless not to respond, just like Hoisong himself. Ming Tuei gives it another light, almost pensive caress.
"Ready to go again so soon? Dee Dee, I'm impressed."
All Hoisong knows is that it was dark when he started the ritual, and it's still dark now. It feels like hours and hours have passed, but he's lost track of time completely. If Daga says it's so soon for him to be ready again, then it must truly be soon. No matter that he's been impaled on that cock for what feels like half a lifetime, Daga hasn't even come at all, he realizes, so of course time would be moving more quickly for him. Under Ming Tuei's attention, Hoisong's cock is half hard before too long. The light, exploratory touches that felt like too much on Hoisong's oversensitized dick quickly become a cruel tease, not nearly enough.
"So pretty for me,"
Ming Tuei croons, idly playing with Hoisong's cock like it's a captivating piece of art he's recently been gifted. And can't help but admire. Hoisong whines and tries to push his hips up to get more pressure, more anything, but he has no leverage in this position, and Ming Tuei easily holds him down with one broad palm.
"What about Daga?"
he asks desperately, clenching around him in half-question, half-reflex.
"Daga hasn't come at all yet. Surely you must want..."
Ming Tuei's eyes flash. "Of course I want you, Ah Song. I'll take you when I'm good and ready."
And Hoisong hadn't even been asking. He hadn't been fishing for this, honestly. But it sends a wave of heat through him, nevertheless. And from the way Ming Tuei's look grows darker, he must know it. It takes Ming Tuei a sweet, agonizingly long time to be good and ready. First, he has to tease Hoisong's cock into full hardness, taking liberal breaks to kiss his wrist, the inside of his knee, smooth hair out of his eyes, or stroke his flanks. When Hoisong writhes, because it's slow, gentle torture, Ming Tuei pulls him back up into his lap, seating him firmly on his cock. When he finally decides he's ready, Ming Tuei lifts Hoisong as easily as a bag of grain and settles him on his stomach. The sudden loss of Ming Tuei's cock in his body is so jarring that Hoisong cries out, spreading his legs and arching his back by pure instinct. Ming Tuei pushes back in as soon as he gets Hoisong arranged to his liking. One long, smooth stroke that has Hoisong's toes curling. The way Ming Tuei fucks him now makes him realize that he was going early easier, before it pushes all thoughts out of his head entirely. It's fast, rough, demanding, claiming, and Hoisong is nothing but a vessel for the rolling waves of sensation Ming Tuei sets off in him. At this angle, Ming Tuei's cock hits that place inside of him on every other thrust, making him moan and gasp into the bed linens. Ming Tuei tugs on his hair, arching his neck back.
"Let me hear you,"
he demands. And then, of course, Hoisong has no choice but to fill the room with the sounds of his pleasure. Ming Tuei's mouth finds the knobs of his spine and he bites down, making Hoisong shout so loud it would surely summon all the guards in the place to his room if he hadn't carefully warded it with silencing charms before he started, not knowing what the ritual would bring. Hoisong can feel it when Ming Tuei gets close, because his breathing grows ragged and uncontrolled and he switches to short, shallow thrusts, fucking into Hoisong's ass rabbit fast.
"Come for me,"
he hisses into Hoisong's ear, And just like that, Hoisang's coming untouched, shaking apart for the third time that night. And that's what finally sets Ming Tui off, Hoisang's ass clenching rhythmically around him as he comes into the sheets. The feeling of Ming Tui finding his release deep in his ass, Hoisang doesn't think he's ever known something so viscerally satisfying. He's filthy and shaking and claimed, all de guz, just like he's meant to be. When he finally comes down, it's to find Ming Tui has rolled onto his back, breathing heavily and staring up at the ceiling. Hoisang drapes himself across Ming Tui's chest and kisses him clumsily, no coordination left in his loose limbs. He can feel a trail of Ming Tui's cum dripping down the inside of his thigh when he moves, and he thinks, smugly, that he earned it. Having Dagu back with him is its own reward, but this feels like an extra prize for a job well done. The sky is turning gray, and the first birds of the morning are starting to wake, when enough strength finally returns to Hoisang's limbs to let him move. He gives Ming Tui one last parting kiss, although he's not going far, and then tidies up the remnants of the ritual, stowing things away and pushing furniture back into place until there's no trace of his activities remaining. Then he crawls back into bed and curls up against Ming Tui's broad chest, kissing him again and again. "I'm afraid if I go to sleep, you won't be here when I wake up," Hoisang confesses. Ming Tui rolls them over and kisses Hoisang's neck, his chest, his cheeks.
"I'll be here," he says.
But he doesn't tell Hoisang to go to sleep, and he doesn't do anything to stop the slow progress of his lips over skin. They make out lazily until it's fully light out, trading off who's on top and who's holding who. Hoisang's favorite might be lying on top of Ming Tui's solid body like a mattress, one thigh slotted between his legs and Ming Tui's arms holding him close. But he's going to need a lot of time to make up his mind, so it's all good. At the usual hour, a servant comes in with a tray of food, and Hoisang nearly chokes from surprise. This is why he had cleared away the signs of the ritual, yes, and he'd known in the back of his mind that someone would be coming eventually, but he hadn't been ready for it to be so soon. He stares at Ming Tui, frozen. They're lying side by side now, legs tangled together under the covers, and frantically tries to come up with an excuse. He'd hired several new servants 2 winters ago who wouldn't know Ming Tui's face. Maybe this was one of them? Or if they do recognize him, he supposes he can play up the depraved with grief angle if he's forced. Say this is someone he found on his travels and the resemblance was so strong he lost his mind. But it will make everything that much harder if he has to
breathe,
Ming Tui says, low. Hoisang shoots him an accusing glare and inhales, realizing that, yes, he was getting a bit lightheaded there. The servant is well-trained. She puts the tray down on a low table near the window and simply asks if there's anything else sect leader Nie requires. He's glad for the early morning chill that made him pull the quilt up to their necks, because otherwise this would paint an even more compromising picture than it does. "Nothing more, thank you," he says, and the servant gives a slight bow and leaves. She'd acted if nothing was out of the ordinary, despite the extra person in Hoisang's bed. Almost as if... as if... "I'm not sure if she could see you," Hoisang muses. Ming Tui gives him a wry look. He's no less solid-seeming in the morning light, but the servant's eyes hadn't even paused on him once. Even for the discreet, well-trained servants that Hoisang likes to hire, that would be quite the feat unless she couldn't actually see Ming Tui there. After eating breakfast, washing up, and getting dressed, Hoisang tests this out by summoning his steward to bring him his letters. Ming Tui appears to be dressed again, without Hoisang ever having seen him put on clothes. It's no more odd for a ghost to be able to alter this part of his appearance at will than it is to be visible at all, Hoisang supposes. The steward never once glances over to Nie Ming Tui, despite having been Ming Tui's steward before Hoisang's. And despite the fact that Ming Tui is sitting right next to Hoisang behind the desk. When it becomes increasingly apparent that Ming Tui is only visible to Hoisang, He clears his throat a few times, going so far as to wave his arms when this makes no difference. Eventually, Hoisang dismisses the steward and takes a stroll through the grounds with Ming Tuei at his side. No one bats an eye or gives any sign of perceiving Ming Tuei at all, even when their paths cross with his. Even when he talks to Hoisang right in front of someone's face. The second night passes much like the first. Hoisang is desperate to get his hands on Ming Tuei again after a full day of having to appear normal in front of his sect, and Ming Tuei is happy to oblige. They don't manage to fall asleep until nearly dawn, and even then it's because Hoisang is about to drop from exhaustion after his sleepless night before. Hoisang wakes with a start, convinced it was all a dream. But when he reaches over to the other side of the bed, his hand meets warm skin. And when he looks, Ming Tuei's face greets him. His cultivation is too low to feel what Ming Tuei assures him is true. That Ming Tuei's spirit is knitted into his very qi that runs through his meridians, linked with him for as long as the qi continues to circulate. Which will be his whole life. And a long one, if Hoisang has any say in it. On the third day, having thoroughly vetted the fact that no one but Hoisang can see or hear him, or tell that he takes up space, Ming Tuei takes Hoisang right there on the throne, in the middle of hearing reports. It is an exercise in deep restraint for Hoisang, and does more to help his reputation as the flighty headshaker than any of his careful affectations could ever have done. After he's been a ghost for little over a week, Ming Tuei learns that he can fade in or out at will, until he's no more than a voice in Hoisang's ear, or a reassuring hand on his back.
"In case you want time alone,"
he says, looking at the floor after Hoisang, voice shaking, had demanded to know the meaning of that particular experiment. "I never want time alone. Not from you. Never again. You're stuck with me now." Ming Tuei's face does something complicated. Then he pulls Hoisang in and kisses him long and lingering.
"And you were mine, Ah Song,"
he says when they part, before kissing him again. His rough hand on Hoisang's cheek is reassuringly warm. Much later, the brothers find a use for Ming Tuei's ability to turn invisible when they're out seeking revenge. Even ghosts like Nie Ming Tuei aren't hidden from other ghosts, or from demonic cultivators, it seems. But that's another story. The end. Until I say goodbye on a dying day, because I've got you, brother. I've got you, brother. I've got you, brother. I've got you, brother. If I was dying on my knees, you would be the one to rescue. And if you were drowned at sea, I'd give you my love so you could breathe. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!